This is Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
So, Dave,
yeah.
I got a phone call the other day from our old friend Tom.
Tom's the cousin.
Yes.
Good.
And he was asking me about my son, Sean, and wanted to know how things were going with Sean and had he been missing class. And I said, how in the world did you know about that? I haven't talked to Tom in, like, months. He goes, I listen to your show.
Oh, the show.
I forgot that people listen to the show.
We're number 11 in New Zealand right now, buddy.
It is. Right? That's true.
There are people. There are New Zealand. What is someone from
New Zealand?
New Zealand.
That are Kiwis.
Kiwis. They're waking up in the morning going, I wonder if Sean got to class.
It's true. Well, as if you're wondering, he didn't get to class again today. He was late again today.
Yeah, but the class is early, isn't it?
It's at noon. It's once a week on a Wednesday, a day that you come here to record. And once again.
Does he have any remorse after he wakes up?
None.
Really?
He has none. No remorse.
So, it's an hour class? 2 hours?
I think it's a 2 hour class. So, I got him up at like 12:02.
Okay.
So, and he has to drive about 15 minutes, 20 minutes to get there.
Well, he's going to stop for coffee.
Well, I mean, you just don't go right to class.
Right. And, you know, I don't know if you know, Dunkin' Donuts now have those breakfast wraps wrapped in pancakes.
They do.
Yeah. So, he's probably one of those. Uh-huh. And then as he's walking in, he's seeing Madison, his buddy.
Madison,
what's up?
I'm just going to assume there's a Madison in his class.
Ashley, Madison, and Josh. You know, they're going to all be there. And they're going to be, hey, Sean, what's up?
Yeah.
So then 12:20 turns into 12:40.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he's going to, you know, I got to go to the bathroom. Because that pancake thing is going to go through.
Yeah, and the coffee.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
And then he gets in, it's like, I don't want to be rude.
Right.
And walk into
a
class.
Just walk in.
What is the class? Nuclear physics?
I think it's an English class.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you check his grades? Well, he's over 21. You can't check
his grades. No, I can't check his grades. No.
What do you think? What's the over-under on...
I don't know. If you want to get... speak to someone who's a little wound up about him, talk to my lovely wife,
really?
Bridget. Yes.
No, I would think that she'd be very...
No. Just go up to her and say Sean's name and see how she reacts.
So is she going to, like... Is her mouth going to open and then, like, a train sound comes out, like in a cartoon when somebody's angry?
Take the love train. No. No. In fact, it would be a more of a pinwheel eye situation.
Okay.
Rolling. Situation.
Well, we're going to talk about cartoons in a few seconds.
Okay.
So let's get going.
Are you suggesting we hop right into the show while I'm in mid rant?
Go.
No.
I suspect the rant is going to continue.
The following is a Tony Lasano podcast,
an Opie production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
This is Minutia Man with Rick and Dave.
So Sean is now ranked one in the Kempfer Ne'er-do-well ranking right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We have at least one ne'er-do-well a week in the house rule.
Do you know, like in a fast food restaurant,
yeah,
it says employee of the month and they have the picture? You should have ne'er-do-well of the month.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then.
That's a good. Although, if Bridget's in charge, I may win that occasionally,
really?
Too. Yeah. So I don't want to do that.
We are having Michelle and I are having a little dispute right now.
Uh-oh.
Well, I bought a toaster oven, I don't know, like a year ago or something.
Yeah.
It never was really, didn't really work very well. I mean, you know, it was actually a brand name. I'm not going to say which brand it is, but it just hasn't worked. So
now you didn't do your research, did you?
No, I went there. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Consumer Reports is not something that I'm looking
We have
at
a dryer downstairs that I picked out.
Yeah, not.
And I hear it. Every time
really?
She does the laundry, it's like, or no, it's a washing machine. I'm sorry. Like, I hate this washing machine.
Ergo, I hate you. So this toaster oven, it just never really clicked right, with us. The door didn't really work. And it just, you know, so she's like, well, we're going to take it back. I'm like, we've had it for a year. You know, there's like, you know, cheese crusted on the, you know, from the frozen.
We'll never notice.
Well, and she's like, you can do it. And so she sent me a link. The Costco, I guess you can. I mean, I don't know if it's up to a year or whatever, but I'm now petrified that I'm gonna have, and they're gonna, like, you know, it'd be an inquest.
Yeah.
As to, you know, well, what happened here? Look at this door here. You know,
you don't return stuff a lot, do you?
I do not.
I don't either. I there was a moment early on in our marriage where Bridget sent me to return a pair of like kids' pants that were like Johnny's pants or something that were a size too big. They were husky or something.
Okay, with a big patch on the back.
But I got into that line at the Target, and I was prepared to
slide number 7 of why I want to return, like PowerPoints and stuff, right?
Exactly.
And they don't care. They just put it in the credit card are you doing? Right. We're gonna have a spanking new toaster oven soon. Then I'll make you a frozen pizza.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, we got a lot of stuff to cover here.
Okay. More important than what we've been talking about so far? Yes. Okay.
This story comes out of Ohio. I love Ohio.
Yeah.
Don't you?
4 dead in Ohio.
The Ohio State. Right?
Oh, okay.
You know, family in Ohio. Headline, dead Ohio man's roommates drove his body to a bank to withdraw money after he was dead.
Okay.
Hence,
the body
dead man's
part.
Body, yeah. Right? Yeah. Two roommates of we were roommates at one point.
We were, and I can totally see you doing this.
Do you remember when you had vestibulitis?
I do remember.
We'll talk about that later. Two roommates of a recently deceased man were each charged with abusing a corpse after propping up his body to withdraw money from his bank, police said. The pair, Laureen P. Ferrallo, 55, and Karen Kasbaum, 63. Here is a picture of both of them. Look at those. Mm-hmm. Again, we're doing fine at our age, okay? The woman on the left is 50. I don't know. Actually don't know which one's 55 or 63 or 90, depending upon the...
Oof.
Found the dead man Monday in his bed. He had died. He was 80. And took his body to the bank where they had just previously last week accompanied him to withdraw money. And this is in Ashtabula, Ohio.
All right. Okay?
So with the help of a third unnamed person, the roommates carried the body to the front seat of the dead man's car. Probably not the driver's side, because that would be silly. It doesn't say, but and they put him in the car, and they went through the bank drive-thru to withdraw money. It worked. So they got the money.
Oh, how is this in the news?
So the reason why they got caught is they dropped off after they went to the bank and got the money. Well, let me backtrack for a second. Did they have one of them do the impersonation of him?
Give it to me in 20s.
Yeah, right, exactly. There's two women and this is a guy. I wonder if they, went through a whole impression thing, right? So the reason why they got caught is they went to the Ashtabula County Medical Center after they got the cash, and they just dropped off his body.
Oh. Okay.
They're just like, here you go. No story, no nothing. And they found the ATM receipt in his pocket.
Whoops. They put it in his pocket?
I know, right? Karen Kasbaum and Laureen Ferrallo, not Mensa members.
Yeah. I recommend they watch Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. And do you know... This is exactly where I'm going with this. Did you know the actor who played Bernie?
Yeah.
Did you know actually that there's a Bernie's 2, too?
No, I didn't watch the first one.
There's a Weekend at Bernie's 2. How can you have another one? He's dead, right? I looked how much Terry Kaiser, who played Bernie, made.
Yeah.
Guess how much he made for that role?
I don't know.
1989. Take a guess.
I have no clue.
$350,000.
Not bad.
I could totally have done that role, right?
Yes.
Just, you want me to play a dead guy?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You look deader than he does.
You know what else I can also do? I can be, you ever go to like a symphony and they have the triangle guy?
Yeah.
I could be the triangle
guy. I don't think you could.
You don't think so?
No. I think that's...
Well, I could play Bernie the next, so if there's a
all right.
Weekend at Bernie 7, I'll do it for like $40 an hour.
I have a story for you, and this is something that is kind of like a horror movie. I hope you are buckled up, Chicagoland. For,
well, number 11 in New Zealand. Oh, wait, is this from Chicago?
This is Chicago. An invasion of cicadas is coming this year, and it happens every 17 years.
Those are migrant cicadas. They're in caravans, right? From Mexico, right? Isn't that where the cicadas are coming from?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this. If it happens every 17 years, this means this is going to be our fourth time.
Yeah.
In our lives. And I remember all three of the other times vividly. Yeah. 17 years ago, last time it happened, my sister-in-law Ellen had so many cicadas that they had to shovel their driveway.
With the dead carcasses of
cicadas. Yes.
And they're big, aren't they?
They're huge.
They got the big wingspans.
34 years ago, I was on Stephen Gary's show, and we recorded a song about cicadas that was to the tune of Gloria. C-I-C-A-D-A. Cicada. Okay. All right. So that was 34 years ago. And 51 years ago.
Yeah, we were 12.
1973.
We were 10.
I was fascinated by cicadas, these ugly beasts. I was scared of them because they are scary looking. But I was peer pressured into holding one in my hand.
Okay.
One of the neighborhood kids dumped.
Was this when you were in the Army brat?
No. This is before we moved. Okay. It was in Mount Prospect when I was a little kid. And I held my hand out, and this kid poured out of a jar. He had collected a cicada and put it on my hand. And it secreted something and made that loud noise, and I squealed like a little girl.
You were Lucy in the... You eeked.
I totally eeked. Now... At the time, and actually up until this week, I was afraid that secretion was some sort of a poison or something. It turns out that's not what it was.
Wait, what do you mean that you were still worried? You were worried 51 years later that
yeah,
that,
I that still was occasionally good. Have like something with my hand, and I think, is that from that?
From is the that from the, yeah, 1975.
I'm serious. Okay. But this is...
And you called me a hypochondriac. No, go on. You get medical degree John Hopkins, right? Is that where you were?
Yeah. Well, it turns out I was right to scream about this fluid. The fluid wasn't poison, like I feared, but it was incontrovertibly gross.
Okay.
Let me read this from the article that I just found this week about it. Cicadas are the smallest animal to create high-speed fluid jets. And because their population reaches trillions, the ecosystem impact of their fluid ejection is substantial but unknown. But what fluid are they ejecting?
Well, are we talking males?
No, it's cicada urine.
Okay.
And that 1973 cicada peed on my hand.
And you're still pissed
about
it.
And I'm still pissed about it today. It's so gross. So anyway, I'm thinking we have to do some sort of a big cicada thing.
You would have done great on Survivor. I really think so. You're like, hey, I can't do this. My gout is cicadas can't do it. Go ahead.
I think we need to do a big cicada thing this summer.
Okay.
So,
what do you mean a big cicada? Like a festival?
No, a bit. All right. Let's put it in your head. So, because 17 years from now, when people say, "What did you do 17 years ago?" You have to have a story. I've got the piss story. I've got the song story. I've got the driveway story. We need one for this summer.
Okay. All right.
That's your job.
What do you think the odds of us doing a show in 17 years? Oh, well, probably pretty good.
It may not be a show, but we still have to have stories at the nursing home. Tell the other guys, hey, Morty.
Hey, we're ranked number number four in the Shady Rest podcast network.
So are there any reviews this week?
Oh, wait. So it's just urine. It's basically.
Yeah. They stream it like a jet. Like a propulsion jet.
Okay. So they're not middle-aged. Exactly.
Right. They're all young. They live like 17 hours or something.
Right. So they've never had they've never lost their stream.
No.
Reviews. This is from Taimonti. Okay. On Apple.
Yes.
Perfect for a short commute. Love the way these guys interview guests. So thank you, Taimonti.
Yes.
And if you are like Taimonti and you think our show is perfect for a short, does that mean that if it was a long commute, Right?
It could be. Yeah.
It's like, you know, they're great for like 19 minutes.
Right. Right. Yeah. You get to like 26 minutes and I'm flipping.
So please, if you like us, review us.
Give us five stars, wherever you find.
Whatever. You know what? Give us four. I don't care.
No, we do care. It's time for another feature.
Time now for Studio Walls.
And the words of the prophets were written on the studio walls.
So this is the part of the show where we dip into the Rick and Dave archives. And, you know, we're talking about 17 years ago. Right. I'm going to go back further than 17 years ago. Because in the 90s, I found something that I think ties in nicely to St. Patrick's Day. This weekend is St. Patrick's Day in Chicago, the most debauched weekend of the year in Chicago. Like, sure. Notoriously right. Bad for, you know.
Great for bars.
Great for bars.
Yeah. Great for cops issuing DUIs.
Yeah, not so good for priests because they get bombarded with confessions because there's a lot to confess.
Father McKay can't right now.
And because of that, they created a beautiful thing called the Catholic Confession Hotline.
Oh, they did?
Yes. Yes. And I have the number.
Who's
here.
The they? Jesus, God, no, Moses? Who did
no,
it?
It's the Catholic Church. Okay. They did it. They did it in Ireland originally because it's St. Patrick's Day. Okay. And so luckily we can just give it a call. Here it is.
Touchstone phone. We're still using touchstone phones.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. You have reached the Catholic Confession Hotline. All priests are busy with other parishioners right now. To reach the automated confessional, please press the pound sign. If thou hast stolen, press 1. If thou hast coveted thy neighbor's wife, press 2. If thou hast coveted thy neighbor's goods, press 3. If thou hast bore false witness against thy neighbor, press 4.
4.
For a more complete menu of sins, press 5. And may God bless all in your house.
Going 4.
My child, say 5, our fathers, and 10 Hail Marys, and I absolve you of your sins.
Okay. Free service for everyone out there.
I don't play on this team, the Catholic team. Yeah. And again, I don't want to... I might be traipsing on some dangerous ground here.
Yeah.
But let's say I do something bad.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's hard to believe that could happen.
Okay, let's say I...
Uh-huh.
Murder. Let's say I...
Yeah.
You know, one of my road rage incidents mm-hmm. I end up killing somebody. Okay, so...
Yeah.
If I was Catholic, can I just go to a priest and go, and he'll go 9 Hail Marys and you're good?
It depends on the level of...
Okay, so murder is...
Murder, I forget what they call it. It's a special kind of sin. I'm such a bad Catholic.
A big boy?
Yeah, it's like a icky, really icky sin, okay. I think they call it.
Okay, and that's, I don't know. And that isn't absolved by words then, or no?
There are ways... to be pardoned for them,
okay.
But I don't know what they are. Don't ask me any questions about Catholicism.
But
let's talk about the Talmud. So if you're, let's say you're reading
Talmud,
you know,
Talmud.
Left to right,
yeah.
And
that, actually, it's right to left.
Okay, let's say you're reading right to left.
Okay,
and somebody,
if you do it the other way, it's like playing a Beatles record.
Turn me on,
dead. Yeah, right. Oh, Paul is dead.
Right.
Okay. Touche.
Point taken.
Yeah. Hey, I got another story, and this is, I think, applicable, really applicable to us, because I know that you are thinking of a second career.
Okay.
Iditarod issues time penalty to musher for not properly gutting a moose that he killed on the trail. This comes out of Anchorage, Alaska. Iditarod officials on Wednesday imposed a 2-hour time penalty on musher Dallas Seaver, for not properly gutting the moose he killed during the race earlier this week. Race marshal, but let the record show I didn't say Reich Marshal, this is not a Nazi story. Warren Palfrey convened a 3-person panel of race officials to investigate the circumstances surrounding the death of a moose, which became tangled up with CV and his dog team early Monday, about 12 hours after the race started for the day. So, CV, there's a moose, tangled up with his dogs. What is he supposed to do? Well, he takes out his handgun and he shoots the moose. I guess it's fairly common
that if you're in the Iditarod, that you end up killing, what's the plural of moose?
Moose.
Yeah.
Okay. So you end up, okay. Well, evidently he did not gut it properly. Okay. And gutting a moose is removing his intestines.
Yeah.
And I guess what you have to do is you remove the intestines and you take them with you during the, and then you, like at the next checkpoint, you go.
You get like bonus points?
No, it's like, hey, I killed that moose back in, you know, mile 72 or whatever.
Yeah, here it's take his pancreas. Like, yeah.
I don't know. I really don't understand what's going on.
Okay.
But this is a perfect job for you.
Oh,
as
yes.
As a musher.
Yes. Do I have to touch any bugs?
Yeah, right. No, I can see you out in the Alaskan outback. Oh, is there I don't know if it's called the outback or whatever.
The tundra.
Right. Now, I could do the, I could say mush. I mean, that's not hard, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I could be the.
But it would be very cold, Dave.
Yeah, good point. What is the, when you row, what is it, the coxswain? Is that what
yeah.
I could do
well,
that.
Excuse
too.
Me, what'd you just call
that's
me?
That's another job I could do. But I got audio, okay? And I've got audio of the moose right before he was shot.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've never heard moose sounds before.
Well, I think you're going to in a second. So this, I think, is the real reason why the moose was shot.
All right, here we go.
You're conscious.
No, I'm Bullwinkle.
You want round trip?
Got any square ones?
Fasten your seatbelts, please.
I take a size 36.
It's the missing scientists, and you're back in one piece.
You were expecting maybe installments?
It's a mine.
It's a yours. He was my uncle.
Do you know what A-bomb means?
Certainly. A-bomb is what some people call our program.
Bullwinkle, he's a dummy.
Please, Rock, you were speaking of our host.
You know what a mirage is.
Sure, it's where you park your car.
Boy, that was too close for comfort.
Yeah, too close for me, too. Where do you suppose we are, Rock?
We're right in the middle of nowhere, Bullwinkle.
Oh, I'm glad. I thought for a minute we were lost.
Bullwinkle, what are you doing here?
Far as I can tell, I'm freezing to death.
Boy, they don't call him Wrong Way Peach Fuzz for nothing.
You mean they gotta pay?
Quick, Bullwinkle, call the sheriff.
Sheriff! Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, who are you?
I'm Bullwinkle.
Not you, you.
I'm still Bullwinkle.
Upsidazium.
And a coochie coochie to you, too.
Woof. Yeah, I'd shoot the voice.
Didn't Vinny meet, what was her name?
June Foray.
Right, and yeah. It was like him meeting John Lennon.
Yeah,
right.
June Foray is the voice of Rocky.
And
not Bullwinkle.
And Boris.
Natasha. Yeah. And we had Vince do a scene with June Foray, and because he creates these wacky voices. Vince is the voice of Minutia Man. And if you hear his wacky voices.
Actually, he's doing both me and you right now.
He is. He does those really well. So that is The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. In case people thought
that was the real moose.
That was not the real moose. I have a story for you. You know, this is an age, Dave, of misinformation. Excuse me. And fake news.
Not on this podcast, though.
No.
Everything we say is completely.
I think it's important to recognize truthful and insightful reporting when we see it, no matter what side of the political aisle it comes from. This week, I tipped my cap to an interview that aired on News Nation, which is a cable news network headquartered here in Chicago. One of the hosts on that station is Chris Cuomo. Remember, okay. Chris? I'm not giving him credit for this incredible moment of introspection and accurate reporting. I'm giving credit to his interviewee,
okay,
who is Tucker Carlson. For the first time in his professional career, Tucker Carlson told the truth. Cuomo asked Tucker why he was so brutal to Cuomo. You know what? I'm just going to play it for you. I think this, I just want you to hear truth telling and what it would sound like coming out of Tucker Carlson's mouth. Here we go.
Different stuff that I say that you say, because I still want to know why you came after me as much as you did.
Because I'm a dick.
Okay, there you go.
Wow.
Truth in advertising.
Did you notice how that just flowed out of his mouth seamlessly?
It did. All right. We have time for another feature. Wasn't that great?
Yeah. You know, that's the perfect retort to anything.
It is.
You know, why did you, well, when you're, instead of confessing, just say, if you kill somebody, it was like, because I'm a dick.
Yeah. I don't think that works in the confessional. It's okay. Time for another feature.
A random name pulled out of Rurik's bowl of brushes with celebrities.
Mixture. Collection. Selection. Assemblage. Medley. Assortment. Variety.
Time now for Celebrity Potpourri
with Rick and Dave.
So that was Vince. That was Vince right there. But this is the part of the show where we ask people to send in their brushes with greatness. And we got a good one this week. This one is from Randall. I have one I bet you haven't heard yet. I went down to visit my son for parents weekend in Bloomington Normal 2 years ago.
Okay.
Excuse me. And I took him and his buddies out for a beer at a pub called Pub 2. Or Pub LL. I look like Pub 2. The bartender looked familiar to me, but it took me a while to piece it all together. Up on the wall, they had a pair of khakis. I wondered what it was, and as I looked at it, it all clicked. The bartender was the original Jake from State Farm. His most famous line in that original commercial was when his wife thought her husband was on the phone with his mistress, grabbed the phone from her husband, who said he was talking to Jake from State Farm. She hissed, "What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm?" And he answers, khakis.
And those are the khakis.
His real name is Jake. He really was a State Farm agent at the time of the commercial. He's a bartender now, and his khakis are on the wall in his pub.
We have got to get him on the show.
Well, now I know how to get a hold of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that is a great one. Thank you, Randall. That is fantastic.
So, we have another show called Minutia Men Celebrity Interview. We have several interviews that are in the hopper. We had a half of an interview with Tony DeFranco.
Right. We will have the other half coming shortly.
Yes. We have an interview with a guy who was the lighting director at Woodstock. Right. His name is Chipmunk.
Right. And he also said the famous line, "Don't try the brown acid," or
Yep. We did that interview already. It was 6.5 hours long. It's currently being edited.
It was longer than the Woodstock concert. It was 4 days. It was a 4 day.
At the end, Jimi Hendrix came in and played the guitar. So we're working on editing that one down. So we will have a new interview for you.
And Anthony Scaramucci coming up in the next few weeks,
too. Yes. So everything is coming back into focus now.
And I got to get the guy who played Bernie and Bernie's 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Well, Terry Kaiser, I think his name was.
Get to work on that.
Oh, my God. That is, don't you think that's like the easiest role possible?
Do you think there's a reason why he doesn't do a lot of interviews?
I don't know. Because the question is, you got paid $350,000 to do Bernie's Weekend at Bernie's?
You know, when he actually does die, by the way, is he alive?
Do we know for sure?
Yeah. When he does die.
Oh, my God. You're right. So this is almost even worse than an embarrassing death.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Is when you play. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pre-embarrassing death.
Right. Well, when the guy who invented Tupperware, when he died, the coffin jokes about make sure you burp the coffin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the Marlboro man, we had that a couple weeks ago. He died of lung cancer. Yeah. Yeah. Embarrassing death is a real thing. I should be worried about that.
Embarrassing roles, evidently, right, too.
So we have some people to thank for the show today. We need to thank Tony Lozano from Opie Shows. And he's got a fully functioning new board for us, so you have to pick up. So thank you. Cool. And by the way, it wasn't my fault last week on the show.
It was just old-fashioned equipment failure.
Yes.
Was it made in America?
I don't know. That's a great question. We also need to thank Ed Silla from the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. It wasn't his fault either. Mm-hmm. So I should.
It was Tony DeFranco's fault.
It was Tony DeFranco's fault. But Great Talk Radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place, and that's RadioMisfits.com. And we'll have new equipment, and we'll have new material.
Let's not hold on there, Buckaroo, about the new content. All right, the new material.
We'll have content.
that may have been repurposed. Who knows?
And we'll be back again next week with a brand new episode of
Minutia Men.
The proceeding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes,
Stitcher Radio,
and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Opie Productions.
Tony, can you shut up?